Gana Miyona, Gana Yata, Ngadlu Tampinthi. Today, as we gather to worship, we acknowledge the Gana people, the first inhabitants of this place, from time beyond remembering. We acknowledge that through this land, God nurtured and sustained the first peoples of this country, the Aboriginal and Islander peoples. We honour elders past, present and emerging, and we honour them for their care of the lands and waters since creation. We light this candle and our candles together as a symbol of our unity together in Christ. All peoples, all nations, humanity together, remembering God's love and grace fully revealed in Jesus. Welcome to Church Online today. Special welcome if you're with us for the first time. My name is Lynn, the minister at Adelaide West. In 2 days' time, we have a public holiday for Australia Day. There's a lot of controversy about this day and the date, and we've seen that over recent days. Today, Uniting Church congregations across the country are holding worship services to reflect upon and lament the effect of the invasion and colonisation of this nation upon First Peoples and our identity as a nation. The Uniting Church President, Dr. Deirdre Palmer, encourages us to acknowledge and remember the true history of our country. She says, as Second Peoples, it is important for us to confess our complicity in the historical and ongoing dispossession of First Peoples. When we see racism, it is really important that we call that out and contribute to the healing of our relationship as First and Second Peoples through lament and confession and seeking forgiveness. Today, we are acknowledging the past, considering how we are living in the present whilst looking to the future with hope in God as we walk together as individuals, as a church, as a community, and as a nation. And so we worship together, people of faith. Come gather around with songs to be shared, for blessings abound. Australians, whatever your culture or race, come. Lift up your hearts to the giver of grace.
Water hotel, their joy in the one. Today's reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I listened to an inauguration speech this week. I don't follow politics in other nations particularly, but I find milestone speeches like this fascinating. The choice of phrasing, the choice of words, the demeanour of a leader, it all defines a person and a nation in a time and place. And this week we heard these words: a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve through the crucible for the ages. Hope of renewal and resolve. Or a previously somewhat unknown poet by the name of Amanda Gorman, 22 years of age, who blew so many of us away by her incredible poem of reflection, of hope. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it. Milestone speeches, songs, poetry mark an occasion, a moment in time. They speak of the past, the present, and the future. The past includes the good and the not so good, sometimes the abhorrent, the confusing. The present recognizes where we are now, truth in the moment, and the future, the hopes we have as we journey together. Today in the Mark reading, we see a moment in time. It's typically brief, as Mark likes to write. It doesn't go into much detail. Jesus arrives at the shore of Galilee, picturesque, even today, and he says these words: "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." His message is intriguing. It's all about time. In the Greek, not chronos, as in clock time passing, but kairos, as in it's time, a milestone moment, a turning point. The urgency of time, the now, is what defines Jesus more than titles or identities. John was put in prison and Jesus shows up and says, "It's now, it's dawning, it has dawned. Do you see it?" The message puts it this way: time's up. God's kingdom is here. We have the gospel in one sentence. The good news, the humanity of Jesus comes to us. It's a declaration. Time is fulfilled. God's kingdom has arrived. And they are both perfect verbs in the Greek. That is, it's happened in the past but still has effect. So I woke up this morning and I can't unawake. And the two verbs in the second part of Jesus' proclamation are present tense imperatives. They imply this continued or repeated actions. Keep on repenting. Keep on believing. Repent and believe aren't like a door that we pass through once. I repented and I believed, so now I'm in the kingdom. Rather, they are a part of an ongoing lifestyle of the people to whom the reign of God has come near. And then we come to another call story. We explored one last week in the message, The Gospel for Cynics, the call of Nathanael. Today's call is relatively simple. Jesus calls two lots of brothers, all fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John. Jesus calls them and they drop everything and they follow him. It's unusual. Normally the student seeks the teacher. Disciples would ask if they could follow. But Jesus called them. Did they know him? Had they heard of him? What made them drop everything to follow him? To leave the family business behind, to go into the unknown? Jesus tells them, follow me and let's go fishing. Repent and believe come first, then fishing for people. Fishing for people can't be done without repenting and believing. It seems to suggest we can't share the good news without repentance. Repentance in Mark's gospel is to give up and to turn away from, or to turn towards, reorient towards. No more business as usual. This is utter change. It's walking away from something, walking towards something, and involving sacrifice and rejection of former ways of thinking. When we hear the words repent and believe, we think it sounds like give up your sins and become a Christian. But repentance for Jesus meant two rather different things as well. Turning away from social and political agendas which were driving Israel into war. And secondly, calling Israel back to true loyalty to their God. The purpose of Jesus' call to discipleship is not necessarily to take people out of a hostile world with the promise of heaven. It's as much to change the world so that it will stop being a hostile place, so that God's reign on earth, God's kingdom, can be established here. This requires us to look out for the poor, the dispossessed and the excluded, the invisible in our society. Mother Teresa is a beautiful example of this. She says, I heard the call to give up all and follow Christ into the slums to serve him among the poorest of the poor. It was an order. There's a call. Our discipleship includes addressing the socio-political realities of our world and to be a people of justice. I wonder how this speaks into our context in Australia. Are there ways of thinking that we need to reject? What is it in our culture that we need to push against? For instance, speaking the truth about our history. You know, some of our history as a nation is quite shocking. And as Christians, as people who believe that all humans are made in the image of God, as we read in the Bible, it's hard to get your head around slabs of our history. But knowing the truth helps us to acknowledge the past. We can't move forward as a nation if we don't know that truth. Acknowledge past mistakes and atrocities. Become aware of our own worldviews and prejudices that stop us from seeing how people are treated in our nation and in our world. For example, today our Indigenous incarceration rate is totally unacceptable. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults are 15 times more likely to be incarcerated than non-Indigenous Australians. And Indigenous young people, some as young as 10, are 26 times more likely to be incarcerated. We must find a solution to this, and quickly, because this hinders our nation. We must be truth tellers. Stand up against racism where we see it. A recent report found that 1 in 3 Indigenous people experience high levels of racial prejudice and discrimination, which has a devastating impact on their mental health. There are areas where we are moving forward, where we've made a start, and this gives us hope for the future. You know, the call of Jesus was and is a complete break with business as usual. Everything they knew stopped. For Simon and Andrew, James and John, the kingdom has come near. The kingdom, which has to do with the reign of God, the presence of God, says no to evil. It seeks reconciliation and justice. You know, the interim chair of Uniting Aboriginal and Indigenous, an Islander Christian Congress, Pastor Mark Kickett says, it's monumental. To have the Uniting Church stand and affirm who we are, our connection to country, our sovereignty, our life that has existed long before colonisation. Not just that, but their challenges for First Nations peoples having to survive, to find a voice and to fight for justice that we as people desire. You know, here at Adelaide West, we're blessed to be involved with a few reconciliation projects, like walking every day over the ground art in our car park, the Kaurna Shield, symbol of protection of this land, God's protection of this place. The circle artwork is symbolic of us as people meeting together with God as our centre. I love the picture here. In the centre is the symbol for the Trinity, three persons put together, one God, three persons. There are people sitting around the Trinity. We meet together based on our faith in God, in unity, in acceptance, hope, and transformation in Jesus. Meeting places are connected with flowing water, the flowing spirit between them, and it's all encircled by three black circles, a larger meeting place, encircling all that we do together. A meeting place with meeting places within it, connected by the Holy Spirit, and surrounded and encircled by the sacred. There's a sense of God first in this. Everything we do is centered about God as the Trinity, and a sense of security, covering and shelter. It's a picture for us as a church. It's a picture of journeying together, of reconciliation. And I wonder if it's also a picture that speaks of unity and understanding together for us as a nation. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As we draw nearer to Jesus, this is the gospel that we are called to, and it's radical. And one way we express this is to acknowledge the past, proclaim justice in the present, whilst looking to the future with hope in God together. How will we answer that call? Are we prepared to drop everything for that call? For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Amen.
God's righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom come. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Now glorified, now justified, His kingdom come. Majesty.
Let's pray together. Aravata Tanha, Naga Pala, Nugu Thana. God Most High, God our Maker, we thank you that your kingdom comes, that your kingdom is here, that your reign is here. Thank you for sending Jesus, the expression of your love, the grace of God, the word of God revealed to us. As we draw near to you, as we worship you, we are aware of our own inadequacies, our regrets, our sin. And we confess that to you now. We're sorry for those times when we have been complicit with injustice. We're sorry for those times that we haven't drawn near to you, that we haven't been able to step up and say, yes, I will follow you. Thank you that all these things, the things that we do and say and the things that we don't do and say, they are forgiven through Jesus. We give you thanks. Help us to understand the freedom that that brings to us in our everyday lives. We thank you for this land, its beauty, its ruggedness. We thank you for the colours of this land, for the unique plants, birds and animals. We thank you for the many peoples of this land. Lord Jesus, give us the courage to accept the realities of our history, so that we may build a better future for our nation. Teach us to respect all cultures. Teach us to care for our land and waters. Help us to share justly the resources of this land. Help us to bring about spiritual and social change to improve the quality of life for all peoples in our communities, especially the disadvantaged. Help all young people to find true dignity and self-esteem by your Spirit. May your power and love be the foundations on which we walk together as first and second peoples and build our families, our communities, and our nation. Holy Spirit, help us to live out the covenant into which we, the first and second peoples of this land, have entered with one another. Help us to confront and challenge injustice wherever we see it, to act justly and encourage others to do the same and to rejoice in the richness of our diverse cultures and learn from them, celebrating and demonstrating the unity we share in Jesus our Lord. Living God, we commit to worship, witness and service as your people, until your promised reconciliation of all creation is complete. And we give to you all of our lives as a part of this, including our giving, our financial and our practical giving, our giving of our time and energy. And we pray that you would use our financial practical gifts and the giving of ourselves to share the good news, to stand up for justice, to be a people, a church of reconciliation. Heal our heart and make it clean. Open up our eyes to the things unseen. Everything that we are is for your kingdom's cause as we walk from earth into eternity. We pray our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I say the King of Glory.
We hope this service has brought you hope today. You're invited to join the Change the Heart prayer gathering online or on TV or the radio. Change the Heart is brought to us by Common Grace, and we held a prayer gathering here 2 years ago. So this is on Monday night at 7 p.m. Adelaide time. There are many things we can do in our journeying together. One thing could be to do any one of these things. Visit local sites, visit cultural centres, learn something about the local Aboriginal history, learn a few words in Kaurna language or the language of where you live. For instance, Ninamani, hello, how are you? Use the book Our Mob, God's Story as a devotional. Put up a sign at home or at work as you take your next step. And we can email you this or send you a card if you would like us to do so. Or read some speeches like Paul Keating's or Stan Grant. Visit the art gallery, read Dark Emu or Yata Wandatha. Or read a story or biography of significant Indigenous Australians. We'll put this list up on the Facebook page and also the Adelaide West website. On the 26th of January, what is one thing you could do? One thing that you could commit to? If you would like prayer, ring or email, or if you're watching live, press the prayer button. And we finish with a benediction written by Brooke Prentice, the CEO of Common Grace. May our footsteps on these ancient lands remind us of creation and connectedness in our search for truth. May the gum tree, from its roots to its branches, remind us to dig deep and reach high in our action for justice. May the eagle who soars in the sky remind us of the power in our call for love. May the expanse of the lands and seas, sky and stars remind us of God's timing in our faith in hope. May the Holy Three, known to our Indigenous brothers and sisters as Creator Spirit, Lord God and Papa Jesus, remind us of community. Now with grace, mercy and peace, go in truth, justice, love and hope. Amen. Blessings on your week.